Well, good evening and welcome to another edition of Midwest Beats. I'm your host, Tom Lounges. This program is all about music and the people who make it. Tonight's guest has been making music a variety of ways over the years. She's predominantly known for her country hits, but she's also quite fluent and successful when it comes to jazz, Americana, and pop. I'm talking about the amazing Susie Boggess. Susie will be performing December 3rd at Memorial Opera House in downtown Valparaiso. In fact, it's a fundraiser for the historic building. So without any further ado, let's get into the swinging little Christmas spirit of that swinging little Christmas concert that's coming to town with Susie Boggess by kicking things off with a classic holiday standard. Here's Susie.
I'm dreaming tonight of a place I love even more than I usually do. And although it seems such a long way back, I promise you have snow and mistletoe and presents on the tree. Christmas Eve will find me where the love light gleams.
Listening to Midwest Beat, I'm Tom Lounges. My guest this evening, the one and only Susie Boggess. She'll be home for Christmas, but before then, she'll be here in Valparaiso performing her Swingin' Little Christmas concert to help out the foundation that keeps the Memorial Opera House in Valparaiso up and running. Susie, you've made frequent appearances on public radio in the past, and I thank you on behalf of all of us here at public radio for your support and your many performances on A Prairie Home Companion. Well, tonight, we're going to feature your music right here on the lakeshore on this show, Midwest Beat.
Oh, we love public radio. I used to not even be able to sleep unless I had public radio on.
Well, we love to hear that.
I am a huge fan, and I do keep it going pretty much anytime I'm in the car or in the house. So,
well, this show is called Midwest Beat, and you are a Midwest gal growing up in Northern Illinois, and we're going to talk a bit about your roots. But first, let's talk about the swinging little Christmas concert that you're bringing here to Valparaiso's Memorial Opera House on December 3rd. What do you got in store for us?
Well, you know, I've been doing this Christmas thing for many years. It started in college. I'm a Christmas freak. I just love it. I have a lot of fun with it, and the music is just so beautiful. I've been just kind of taking it all different places. This year we're kind of doing a Midwest swing, if you get my pun. But it's just a small group. There's four of us, and we play a lot of the traditional stuff, but we kind of swing it a little. It's a fun show. It's for the whole family. In these days, I do, pretty much a half and half show. It's about half Christmas and then half some of my hits, some of my American folk songbook, which, I got that idea from Garrison Keillor. So that's a part of the deal. And then my newest record is all Merle Haggard songs. So
right.
we kind of sprinkle it all together.
Now, when you say you're doing half and half, are you mixing them all together, or will it be two half shows, like the first half is Christmas, second half?
It's more like we begin with Christmas, and then we kind of take a little aside and do something, just sort of a little mini set inside of the set, and then we go back to Christmas before we finish and leave everybody, hopefully, in the spirit.
All right. Well, this concert is a fundraiser for the Memorial Opera House Foundation, which maintains this historic 120-year-old theater that was built to honor the soldiers of the Civil War. And I know you've performed at the Opera House back in 2011. Any special thoughts on the venue itself?
I totally remember everything about it. It's very memorable. And I can picture myself standing on the stage. I remember what the walls look like. I remember the seats and everything. And I think it's such a fantastic thing when towns are trying to keep these special places going, keep the enrichment programs in your towns, so that you guys can bring acts in from all over the place. And it just goes to show you that the folks there, they want to keep that stuff going too. So I'm hoping we'll have a full house.
Well, you mentioned that you're kind of a Christmas junkie, so to speak, since we are in the season. Share with us, if you will, a favorite childhood Christmas memory.
Well, as I grew up in Illinois, so it was always a special Christmas if we ended up snowing, so that we would have, we get ice skates or we get a sled or something that my mom could send us outside with. And so that's always my favorite one is my grandparents came and they had moved to California and they came on the train and it was one of those years where it didn't really snow until Christmas Eve. And I just remembered that, it started to snow the day of Christmas Eve, and it was all that kind of, outside was all kind of dark, and you could tell something was getting ready to happen. And then my grandparents pulled up, and it was just the most special Christmas I can ever remember.
How old were you at that point? Do you remember?
I think I was about 7 or 8.
Okay.
So, I was old enough to, kind of to hang out with the older kids I was still small enough that it was very Christmassy to me, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm. I know exactly what you mean. Still young enough to believe that Santa Claus is coming to town, and he is, along with Susie Boggess, and she'll be back on the other side.
I just got back from a lovely trip along the Milky Way. I stopped off at the North Pole to spend a holiday. I called on dear old Santa Claus to see what I could see. He took me to his workshop and told his plans to me. So you better watch out, you better not cry, better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. He's making a list and checking it twice. Gonna find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. He knows if you've been bad or good. So be good for goodness sake. Oh, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you Santa Claus is coming to town. Santa Claus is coming to town. Curly-haired dolls that toddle and coo, elephants, boats, and kitty cars too. Santa Claus is coming to town. The kids in girl and boy land will have a jubilee. They're gonna build a toy land all around the Christmas tree. Oh, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming, Santa Claus is coming, Santa Claus is coming to town.
Like Santa Claus, Susie is coming to town, only a little sooner. She'll be here on December 3rd to perform her Swingin' Little Christmas show at Memorial Opera House in Valparaiso. It's a fundraiser to keep the Opera House up and running. Susie, what is a holiday tradition that you and Doug have each Christmas?
Let's see. Well, we're supposed to always put the tree up together. We just have one son, so that's been our tradition. I'm hoping that we'll be able to continue that since he'll be home for Thanksgiving from college this year. And he goes to school in Indiana. So
really? Whereabouts?
He goes to DePaul up there. I'm hoping that he'll be home, and that will be our, you know, we watch all the little VHS shows of The Grinch and Charlie Brown Christmas. We bought them all when Ben was little, and so we get really nostalgic.
Speaking of The Grinch, you recorded that on your last Christmas album, 2010, Dreaming of a White Christmas. You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. Is that something that we might hear at this concert on December 3rd?
You know, we probably won't do that one this year. It takes a pretty big band to pull that off. It's a show number. You know, it's got a lot of different kinds of instruments and stuff in it.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel. You're a monster, Mr. Grinch. Your heart's an empty hole. Your brain is full of spiders. You've got garlic in your soul, Mr. Grinch. I wouldn't touch you with a 39 and a half foot pole. You're a vile one, Mr. Grinch. You have termites in your smile. You have all the tender sweetness of a seasick crocodile, Mr. Grinch. Given the choice between the two of you, I'd take the seasick crocodile. You're a foul one, Mr. Grinch. You're a nasty, wasty skunk. Your heart is full of unwashed socks. Your soul is full of gunk, Mr. Grinch. The three words that best describe you are as follows, and I quote, stink, stank, stunk. Yeah.
dead tomato splot with moldy purple spots, Mr. Grinch.
Your soul is an appalling dump heap, overflowing with the most disgraceful assortment of deplorable rubbish imaginable, mangled up in tangled up knots. You nauseate me, Mr. Grinch, with a nauseous super nos. You're a crooked jerky jockey, and you drive a crooked hoss, Mr. Grinch. You're a three-decker sauerkraut and toadstool sandwich with arsenic sauce.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. One we won't hear on Thursday, December 3rd, when Susie Boggess and her band come to town. But, well, let's talk about some of those that we might be hearing.
You know, we do a lot of fun stuff. I do a song called Mr. Santa that is a takeoff on Mr. Sandman. And that's the fellow who wrote Mr. Sandman, Pat Ballard, actually wrote an alternate set of lyrics, and it's a Christmas song. And it's very cute and fun and, you know, very upbeat and kind of that, the Andrews Sisters kind of harmony, which is, you know, that kind of the deal with the swing thing. Mm-hmm. And then my husband and I wrote a song called Two Step Round the Christmas Tree. And believe it or not, it's our most popular song that we've ever done. Even, you know, even the radio hits like Letting Go, you know, here's a song that only gets played a couple of weeks out of the year, but it's been recorded by lots of different people, and it's on YouTube. There's a ton of different people singing it, and it's actually kind of been our most requested.
And when did you record that?
I recorded it back in '92. We'd written it. We were out on a tour with Michael Martin Murphy, and it was April. It was way up in the top of Canada, up, you know, like Fort McMurray, like north of Edmonton, about 5 hours. And it was the end of April, but it was still snowing like crazy up there. So I got all Christmassy and had this little title, and we were driving this big long stretch, and so we just started the song and went ahead and wrote it, and then found out that Michael was actually making a Christmas record that summer, so he recorded it first and okay. And brought it out for about 3 years before I recorded it, and then I recorded it just as sort of a thank you to radio and just sent it out as a single back in the days of 45 records. And then, you know, when I put my first Christmas album together, which was 2001, I put it on there.
Well, here's that song right now, Two-Steppin' Round the Christmas Tree. And don't you step out, because Susie Boggess will be back on the other side.
There's a wondrous sight and a joyful sound every Christmas Eve in a western town. Gather up the kids, all the friends and family, as the holly's hung and the candles bright, tuning up a fiddle on a moonlit night. Roll back the rug so we can two-step round the Christmas tree. There's a jolly man in a bright red suit. Did you ever see a Santa in cowboy boots? Silver buckles on new blue jeans, shuffling round the room to a yuletide melody. I'm gonna be ready when Santa comes, but I'm gonna be dancing till he does.
Roll back the rug so we can two-step round the Christmas tree.
Listening to Midwest Beat, I'm Tom Lounges as we get into the Christmas spirit with Susie Bogus. Susie's bringing her swinging little Christmas show to Memorial Opera House on December 3rd. In fact, it's a fundraiser to help keep the Opera House up and running. Susie, that song, Two-Steppin' Around the Christmas Tree, was written and performed there by yourself and your husband, Doug Kreider.
You and Doug write a fair share of your own songs. You've made a career, though, out of being a great interpreter of other people's songs, be it Nancy Griffith, John Hyatt, Beth Nielsen Chapman, or even Lowell George, one of my favorite rock and rollers. You've even covered him. What do you look for in a song? I mean, what makes it a Susie Bogus song? How do you know?
Well, that's a tough thing. You know, I'm such a geeky fan of singer-songwriters. And Lowell George, I used to drive all over the place to see him when I was in college. I was an Uber groupie. But the other people, you know, I consider them really good friends of mine now. But, you know, back when I was first starting to record John Hyatt and Nancy and people like that, I'd just been such an Uber fan of theirs that... I would be singing their song, you know, while I was vacuuming or whatever, and I'd think to myself, you think it'd be okay if I record one of their songs, you know? And, you know, I'd start messing around with it, trying to make it my own, because they're such great artists themselves that, you know, it's sort of, you have to, you know, find something to stamp onto it that's going to make it, you know, authentic, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Is that, you know, I didn't want to just take the songwriter's song and sing it like they do. I kind of wanted to give it that little twist. And I don't even really know what makes me record something. It's usually a gut thing where I can't leave it alone. It just haunts me. And then that means it's, you know, something that I need to do.
Well, are these songs that you discover on your own, or are they ones that the songwriter shopped to you, per se?
Well, not usually, yeah. Usually it's because I buy a lot of records.
Okay, very good.
I just, you know, in those cases, yeah, that was definitely the situation. And sometimes I think you're aware of a song for, you know, more time than, you know why you're aware of it, you know. The situation with Drive South is that had been recorded by Kelly Willis years before, and she always just kills me, you know. Her voice just gets inside of me somehow, and that song wouldn't leave me alone. And now I had to not do Hyatt's version and not do her version, so I had to come up with something completely unique. And so that one took a long time for me to sort of work out. But yeah, I mean, I don't know how to say other than just, I'm very aware of my peers, and because I revere them. You know, I really still love music.
I didn't say we wouldn't hurt anymore. That's how you learn. Just get burned. We don't have to feel like dirt anymore. Though love's not earned, baby, it's our turn. We were always looking for true north with our heads in the clouds, just a little off course. But I left that motor running. Now if you're feeling down and out, come on, baby, drive. It's the one. this Chevy van. Windows open on the rest of the world, holding hands all the way to Dixieland. We've been trying to turn our lives around since we were little kids, been wearing us down. Don't turn away now, darling, let's fire it up and wind it out. Come on, baby, drive south with the
Midwest Beat. I'm Tom Lounges. My guest this evening, the one and only Susie Boggess. Susie.
Well, that brings us to the latest album, Lucky, which came out just over about a year and a half ago, I think. Merle Haggard, a whole album of Merle Haggard songs. Did you go into that album expecting to do all Merle? Was this a planned event, or did it just work itself out?
No, I did not. You know, my first experience with Merle was my dad's 8-tracks in his 68 Dodge Polara that he used to drive to work. He carpooled with a bunch of guys up to International Harvester in East Moline, and so that's how I got to know Merle first, was that I kind of inherited that car when I got into high school, and then I thought I was really dangerous because I was driving around playing country music out of my car and
on an 8-track.
Yeah. But then, oddly, in, my first album on Capitol was titled after one of Merle's songs called Somewhere Between. And that was my first charting single that went to 46. And so I was kind of doing that full circle thing, mm-hmm. you know, where you just kind of go, man, I miss singing some of those really strong country melodies. And I was just sitting at the kitchen table just kind of going through some of Merle's songs thinking, I definitely want to put a Merle song on this next album. And then I went, I definitely want to sing this one and this one. Oh, man, I really like to sing this one. And, you know, one thing led to another, and my husband was like, what do you care? You don't have anything to prove. Just call Merle, see if he's okay with it. And so I did. So I called him up, and he gave me his blessing, and I said, I'm not trying to be you. I'm just trying to illuminate what a great songwriter you are. And he was flattered, and he's been really sweet and supportive.
So he loves the album, huh?
He does. It was funny when I actually sent it to him through Marty Stewart, because Marty was playing at his daughter's wedding. And he called me and said, our whole family just sat down and listened through it all the way, and we just love it, and the arrangements are so fresh and different, and he was really sweet, and I walked around the house with the phone just hyperventilating.
Still the groupie, huh?
Still a groupie. I totally am. I mean, it's bad because I always feel like when I'm around people like Emmy Lou or Merle or something like that, I can't be myself because I'm such a, you know, I'm such a geek. I'm trying to get better at that, where I don't just say the wrong thing because I just get all excited.
Merle's music is not only traditional old school, but it's always been delivered. His style is always from that down-and-out male perspective. Songs about being a loser, drinking, loneliness, drinking, cheating, drinking. How difficult was it for you, being a clean-cut Midwestern girl, to wrap your head around that kind of dark storytelling?
Well, you know, I don't think it's that difficult. For one thing, you know, his stories are really human, and they're just relationship a lot of times. I didn't do a ton of the really down and out kind of songs. I tried to, lean on the ones that I felt like I would be convincing on. I didn't do Mama Tried. I didn't do Okie from Muskogee. You know, I did songs like, Today I Started Loving You Again, and I didn't chase each other around the room tonight because, I'm an empty nester now. So I did things that I felt I could relate to.
Let's chase each other around the room. Play the games we played on our wedding night. To lock and bolt the door is only right. Let's chase each other round the room tonight. Seems like lately people love to play with fire. And the other games they play are just as bad. Well, I'd rather stay at home and feel your burning lips and play the kind of games that make me glad. Oh, let's chase each other around the room tonight. Let's play the kind of games we played on our wedding night. To lock and bolt the door is only right. Let's chase each other around the room tonight. Around the room tonight. Oh, let's chase each other around the room tonight. Let's play the games we play on our wedding night. To lock and bolt the door is only right. Honey, let's chase each other around the room.
Listening to Midwest Beat, I'm Tom Lounges. My guest this evening, Susie Boggess, and that's off her latest album, Lucky, a tribute to the music of Merle Haggard. That one's called Let's Chase Each Other Round the Room, and being an empty nester, I guess that sums it up pretty well. Susie, you covered a dozen of Merle Haggard's songs on this new album, Lucky. Were any of them especially difficult, or shall we say challenging, for you to do?
Let's see. Well, I mean, if we make it through December, I felt a real connection to because of my dad being a shop worker at International. And that one I really felt like I had to change the gender on. So I that was the only one I really had to do that with. What I did was just made it into a two working person household, and, you know, made it as if I was the wife working and he was the husband working. And then I think the other one that was hard for me was Very Far to Go, which is a really beautiful song about if you're trying to break my heart, you don't have very far to go. And I think the reason it was the toughest for me was that I didn't want to come off like just a weak female, you know, that was, you know, feeling sorry for herself. I didn't want it to seem like I was pitiful. What I wanted to do is, like, you know, express how sometimes we as humans don't, we don't think about just the ways that we treat people around us and how, you know, it can put somebody into a funk, you know, if you're just not being aware of how you are acting, you know, you don't think that you're being that bad, but it might be just the tiniest little thing that you're doing that's, you know, kind of oppressing your partner.
You always find a way to hurt my pride. If I'm not crying, you're not satisfied. I don't know why you want to hurt me so. If you're trying to break my heart, you don't have very far to go. You don't have very far to go before the heartache begins. I already feel the sadness of a heartbreak setting in. If you're trying to break my heart, you don't have very far to go.
Listening to Midwest Beat, I'm Tom Lounge. Is my guest this evening, Susie Boggess, and that's off her latest album, Lucky, a tribute to the music of Merle Haggard.
Talking about empty nesting and your partner, since your first album, Doug has been a part of your career as a writer, engineer, producer of your music. He's been your husband for, what, 30 years now?
Almost, yeah.
What's the secret to successfully balancing your work and personal relationships? So many artists who do that, they always say, never date the guitar player in your band because your band will break up. How do you balance that, being so creative and being on a personal level?
Well, you know, it's funny, but we kind of ebb and flow. You know, sometimes we're working together really tightly, and sometimes we're not. You know, I took some time and went down and did a record with Ray Benson in Austin. I did an album in New York with a jazz producer named Jason Miles. And sometimes it's just giving a little bit of space to each other so that you can grow in your own way, and then you can grow together too, you know, in but maybe not so much time that you completely grow apart.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe that's the balance thing. And like I say, you know, there were a couple of songs on the Merle album that were awfully close to home, just about, you know, the fact that it's not always easy. You know, it's you know, sometimes you just have to go into self-preservation to keep the whole relationship going. You know,
mm-hmm.
It's not always, at least for me, it hasn't been that I could always just be super outgoing with my feelings. Sometimes I have to go inside and figure out what am I really feeling.
Okay. Now, Doug's touring with you again for this tour, correct?
Yes, okay. And it's been awesome. Our son, you know, started school a couple of years ago, and, you know, he came back out on the road with us, and he's just, you know, he's such a killer sound guy. That's been, like, such a luxury to have somebody who's such a wonderful engineer out on the road and just making everything sound all sweet and beautiful all night. And I kind of have a laser voice, so he knows how to work it so that it doesn't take people's heads off, and it's nice and mellow. and you know, I just got this little unit that we call it Gorilla Touring. Charlie Chadwick designed this bass that folds. It's a full-size bass that folds inside itself. The neck folds down inside, and he's made over 600 of these for all your favorite people, like Alison Krauss and Derek Douglas and their bands, and so all these people are carrying his bass around. And then I've got a guitar player from the Orkney Islands that I swear he's reincarnated Grady Martin. He is just, he taps into a country feel like you just can't believe. And it's going to be fun to have him out there playing this swing. And I'll have Will Barrow, who's played on most of my records, amazing jazz pianist. And so it's quite a collage of virtuosos out there.
How many dates are you doing for the Christmas tour?
We're only doing 9 this year, but I mean, there's only, you know, so many weekends and days in the season.
Well, since the holiday season is so short, let's get to another Christmas song from Susie Boggess. More with Susie when I return as Midwest Beat continues.
I really can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I got to go away.
Baby, it's cold outside.
This evening has been
hoping that you drop
so
in.
Very nice.
I'll hold your hands, they're cold as
my
ice.
My mother will start to worry.
Beautiful, what's your hurry?
My father will be pacing the floor.
Just listen to that fireplace.
So
roll.
Really, I'd better scurry.
Beautiful, please don't hurry.
Well, maybe just half a drink.
Put on some records while I'm
home. Neighbors might think.
Baby, it's bad out there.
Say, what's in this drink?
No cabs to be had out there.
I wish I knew how.
Your eyes are like starlight
to break
now.
This spell.
I'll take your hat, your hair looks swell.
I ought to say no, no, no,
mind
sir.
Mind if I move in closer?
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
What's the sense of hurting my pride?
I really can't stay.
Baby, don't hold out.
Outside.
got kisses. Your lips look delicious.
My brother will be there at the door.
Like waves on a tropical
my
shore.
My maiden aunt's mind is
got
vicious.
Your lips are delicious.
Well, maybe just a little bit more.
Never such a blizzard before.
I gotta go home.
Baby, you'll freeze out there.
Say, lend me a coat.
It's up to your knees out there.
It's really been grand.
A thrill when
but
you touch my hand. Well, how can you do this thing to me?
There's bound to be talk tomorrow.
Think of my lifelong sorrow.
At least there will be plenty implied.
If you got pneumonia and die,
you really can't stay.
Get over that old down.
Ah, but it's cold outside.
Now where could you be going when the wind is blowing and it's cold outside?
Baby, it's cold.
Give it a little while.
You really think it's going to get better?
And another hour or two.
You're listening to Midwest Beat. I'm Tom Lounges. My guest this evening, the one and only Susie Boggess. Reflecting back, what remains on your bucket list, creatively speaking?
You know, I wish I was a better person at looking at that kind of stuff. I'm really kind of a gut person. I sort of tend to get things last minute, what things that I need to do. Sort of, I'm more spontaneous, I guess you'd say, okay. Or impulsive, one of the two. it's like I don't really have that kind of a list, I guess. I've done so many wonderful things, and I definitely look toward the next one, but I never know exactly what it's going to be till it sort of falls in my lap, and then, you know, that's when I act on it, is when I go, that's the time. I mean, that's just who I am.
All right. Anything we haven't talked about, Susie, that you'd like to, that maybe let listeners know about?
Well, I think, you know, the folks in Valparaiso need to be ready for the Hootenanny, because there is a lot of singing that goes on at this show. We do a lot of sing-along with it in hopes that anyone who gets drugged there as a Grinch, you know, gets turned into a happy, smiling person by the time they leave, whether they're laughing at us or laughing at themselves or just happy. So, you know, no need to learn the words, because as I say in the show, you know, you just sing watermelon, watermelon, and pretty much everybody is fooled that you actually have the words in there if you just put them in the right order.
All right, before I let you go, one last question. You had mentioned Roy Rogers and Dale Evans, and I know you had a connection in your teen years with them. What was it, and what kind of memory could you share about them?
Well, you know, my grandparents moved to California to live close to my aunt and uncle, who had moved out in the early 60s from Illinois, and when they moved out there, my mom and I decided to take the train out. I was in the sixth grade, and we took the train out and got there to find out that my grandparents lived on the same desert block with Roy Rogers and Dale Evans. So it was a pretty big deal for me. And my grandma worked at the church with Dale, so she took me over to meet them and get pictures and stuff. And then I got invited back another night while I was there to have TV dinners at their house.
Wow.
So if you can imagine, your basic Swanson chicken dinner with Roy Rogers and Dale Evans on TV trays in 1969, it was pretty magical. So, yes, and then, you know, years later, 20 years later, I won an award at the Academy of Country Music and had gone back to my aunt's house afterwards, and Roy was having breakfast at the little restaurant that he ate at every morning, and I went in there, and he just said, "Well, look at you. Now you're winning awards and singing." And it was funny, because that year, that was the album that had Cowboy Sweetheart on it, so there was a good deal of yodeling on that particular record, and he was the one who inspired it.
Wow. It's a shame you couldn't have recorded with him at some point.
I know. You know, that's the kind of thing where it's just like, why didn't I think of that? Why didn't I make that happen? I probably could have.
Yeah.
It was just hindsight's 20/20.
Yep. Well, we can keep up with Susie at www.susiebogus.com. All things Susie will be found there, including dates. Don't forget December 3rd, Memorial Opera House, the historic 120-year-old venue that is the pride of Northwest Indiana, will be helped by Susie and her band and Doug. And we encourage everybody to stop out there. I'll be there, and I hope you'll be there as well. Susie, thank you so much.
I'm excited for that. That's going to be wonderful. And, Come and announce us with your beautiful voice. You've got a gorgeous voice.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Really nice.
Let's close out with a song, either Christmas or something from Lucky. What's your choice? What's a favorite?
I guess it's a Christmas thing. Maybe which want to pick one of those. There's one in there. There's actually a couple that I did with Chet. He's playing guitar and Ricky Skaggs is playing mandolin on Mr. Santa. And then he also plays a song called I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day with me. And we'll be doing those in the concert too. So.
Well, let's close out with Mr. Santa then.
Great.
Mr. Santa will be bringing Susie to MOH. So there we go.
Great. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you, Tom. I'll talk to you later on. And appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Mr. Santa, bring me some toys. Bring Merry Christmas to all girls and boys. And every night I'll go to sleep singing and dream about the presents that you'll be bringing. Mr. Santa, promise me please, give every reindeer a hug and a squeeze. I'll be good as good can be. Be awful careful and please don't get sick. Put on your coat when breezes are blowing. And when you cross the street, look where you're going. Santa, I love you so. I hope you never get lost in the snow. Take your time when you unpack. Mr. Santa, don't hurt your back. Up my toesies.
What a good girl.
I've used a hanky when I blow my nosey. Mr. Santa, look at these ears. They're clean as whistles and sharper than shears. Now I put you